Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery, for David Raphael Ben Fanya, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, Dorit Bat Sara, Bessie Ray Bat Lucy, Evelyn Louise Bat Bessie Ray, and Roy Neil Ben Bessie Ray. And to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Ze Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba, and Hadassah Bat Yitzchak. We have two subjects we want to discuss on the program this week, and one of them especially is going to be a very involved subject, so I hope we can get through it without making the program too long. One is the race that Senator Ted Cruz of Texas faces in his re-election campaign against a vicious socialist Jew hater, an enemy of Israel, enemy of the Jewish people, a real danger to both America and Israel, and why the Texas Senate race is so important. That's the first subject. And the second subject is going to be the Yom Kippur War. We're coming toward the Day of Atonement for the Jewish people, Yom Kippur, and there was a war in 1973 called the Yom Kippur War, and we're going to discuss the implications of that because it was a real historic turning point for Israel and for the Jewish people, not for the better, for the worse, and really should teach us certain things about what the Israeli leadership and the Jewish leadership is all about and why we have to replace those leaders with real Jewish leaders for a change. But first, let's start off with the Texas Senate race. First of all, the United States Senate right now is split with 51 Republicans and 49 Democrats. So if the Democrats pick up two seats in the United States Senate, they will have a majority of the Senate. They already, according to most polls, seem to be on their way. The odds seem to be in their favor of winning a majority in the U.S. House of Representatives. So they could win control of both houses of Congress. And that would not be a good thing. That would not be a good thing because if the Democrats win control of both houses of Congress, then Donald Trump will be making deals with the left-wing Democrat leadership and it'll be an absolute disaster. We don't want the Democrats to win control of both houses of Congress. And we especially don't want the Democrats to win this Senate race in Texas. Senator Ted Cruz is one of the few politicians in America who really has honest convictions and an honest ideology. He really was an honest, truthful leader, and that's why we strongly supported him for the presidency in 2016. That's why we ran the Jews for Cruz campaign. And we now have a situation because of the close race in the Senate, even Donald Trump, who does not like Ted Cruz, and Ted Cruz does not like Donald Trump. They can't stand each other. But Donald Trump is going to go to Texas to campaign for Ted Cruz next month. At least that's what the White House has said. He's going to go there to campaign for Ted Cruz because Trump can't afford to lose control of the Senate. And if they lose the Senate seat in Texas, they might lose the Republican Senate majority, and that would be a disastrous 2 years for Trump's, you know, the final 2 years of Trump's first term as president. So even Donald Trump is going to be promoting Ted Cruz and going down to campaign for Ted Cruz in Texas. Here's what's at stake in this race. You have the one true conservative in the U.S. Senate, Ted Cruz, because I don't think there are any others. The one guy in the Senate, and you know we hate all politicians. We hate 99% of politicians we hate because they're scum. Ted Cruz is the one guy who really stuck his neck out to support Israel and support the Jewish people over the years, and really was consistently strongly pro-Israel and did everything he could to show how much he identifies with Israel. It was the biggest applause line in his speeches when he spoke to his mostly evangelical Christian supporters. The biggest applause line he would get would be when he defended Israel and spoke about how he supports Israel and how the United States has to support Israel. Now let's compare that to his opponent. His opponent, Beto O'Rourke. Now, Beto O'Rourke is an attempt, the Beto part of his first name is an attempt to Latinize his name in order to get Latino votes in Texas. Beto O'Rourke is 100% Irish. Okay, he's of Irish ancestry. But he's pretending, he's trying to run as if he's a Latino. Just like Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, tries to run like an Indian in Massachusetts. You know, she went to the universities there and pretended to be a Native American, or what they call Native American, in other words, an Indian. She tried to do that in order to get in on affirmative action, in order to get the benefits of affirmative action. And we have the same thing going on in Texas. This guy is 100% of Irish ancestry, and yet he tries to pose as a Latino. He tries to pretend he's a Latino. So he made his first name Beto, as if it's Beto, as if he has some sort of Latino root. I don't even know how much of a Latino name that really is, but he tried to make it. He's trying to make himself, or trying to fool voters who aren't who aren't aware of his background, that he's Latino. But that's the smallest part of his deceptive evil character. This is a Bernie Sanders socialist who is running for the Senate in Texas. Now, we're going to start off by telling you why he's an anti-Semite, why he's an enemy of Israel and the Jewish people, and then we're going to tell you what his positions are on issues of importance to America. He is so bad. It is so unbelievable. And according to the polls, he and Ted Cruz are running neck and neck now. This, unfortunately, is the Trump effect. Trump has made Republicans unpopular. And most Americans are against Republicans now. I know you Trumpsters don't understand that. You live in your own little bubble. But the majority of Americans don't like Donald Trump and don't like what he's been doing. And despite the fact that they say the economy is booming and everything else, with his tweeting and his crazy behavior and the chaos and all the indictments and all the investigations and all the other things going back and forth, most of the American people are very uncomfortable with what is going on. All right. Now, because of that, because that's the atmosphere, and because in solidly Republican states like Tennessee and Georgia, in these solidly Republican states, you have Democrats leading in the polls. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on now, the atmosphere that's been created here. And so in Texas, you have the same phenomenon. And so you got O'Rourke, Beto O'Rourke, running in Texas almost evenly with Ted Cruz. And here's what Beto O'Rourke, here are some of the things that Beto O'Rourke stands for in terms of Israel and the Jewish people. He is probably the number one candidate of J Street. Do you know what J Street is? J Street are the ultimate self-hating Jews who want to destroy Israel. They're the number one enemies of Israel. They're worse than Hamas or Hezbollah or all the Arab terrorists put together. They are the fifth column. They're the enemy from within that do everything to undermine the Jewish people and undermine Israel and undermine Israel's survival. These are the Jews who are ashamed to be Jewish, the intermarried, assimilated Jews. They're ashamed to be Jewish. They hate their people. They want to destroy the Jewish people and destroy their past. They're ashamed of their past, and they want to bury their past and want to help the enemies of their people destroy their people. That's what J Street is. The most anti-Semitic, vicious, left-wing, evil organization of Judenrat, Kapo, self-hating Jews you can possibly imagine. These are the Jews that are funded by George Soros and all the Jewish billionaires who hate Israel, who fund all the extreme left groups that despise the Jewish people. They're worse than the worst Gentile. The Gentile Nazis are not as bad as these, could not do the harm that these beasts have done and continue to do. And the J Street Jews and people like George Soros, they are the biggest funders of Beto O'Rourke, of Ted Cruz's opponent. The number one funders that he has are the J Street Jews. They are so determined to take out Ted Cruz because Ted Cruz is the biggest defender of Israel in the Senate, the most sincere defender of Israel, and they really want to take him out. And by the way, J Street, if you're wondering what J Street stands for, they favor total Israeli national suicide. Everything that could hurt and undermine Israel, they support. They work to hurt Israel on every front. They are in favor of a nuclear Iran. They do everything they can to defend the Iran nuclear agreement that Barack Hussein Obama signed with the Iranian mullahs that enables Iran to build nuclear bombs. They will do anything they can to cover up for Iran and help Iran build nuclear bombs because they want Iran to have nuclear bombs and to incinerate Israel. They are so filled with self-hatred. They are so filled with self-loathing, with this evil hatred, because these are the wimpy, self-hating Jews that everybody picked on in school. They were wimps, they were cowards in school, and everybody picked on them. And they were raised as cowards, their parents were cowards, they're cowards. And they detest everything about their background because of this. Because of this, they detest everything about their background. You know, all right, I'm not gonna get off on a tangent about what causes this self-hating behavior in Jews, but believe me, everything that causes it is them. Everything that causes it happened to them, and this is them. And Beto O'Rourke is 100% in line with the J Street agenda of destroying Israel. He wants Israel to go back to the pre-1967 borders that are 6 to 9 miles wide. He wants Israel to surrender Jerusalem. He condemned the Trump administration even for the minor step they took in moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, which was no big deal, but he condemned even that. He condemned, he said that was provocative. He was against, you can't move the embassy to Jerusalem. The Jerusalem embassy belongs in Tel Aviv. He and J Street do everything they can against Israel on every issue, on every front. And as far as Iran, he always defends Iran. He always defends the Iran nuclear agreement that would enable Iran to build nuclear bombs. He, like John Kerry, wants to give the Iranians hundreds of billions of dollars, a blank check, so that they'll have the power to do what they want to do. They don't, people like John Kerry and Barack Hussein Obama and Beto O'Rourke and J Street, they don't want a Jewish state. They don't want Israel to exist. They would be thrilled if Israel were destroyed, God forbid. If there was a Holocaust against the Jews of Israel, they would be privately cheering. They would enjoy seeing that. And that literally is true. That is literally true with these people. And this guy signs all the anti-Israel letters, all the anti-Israel petitions. He supports BDS. He supports anything that's against Israel. He supports. He supports Islamic terrorism, of course. He's constantly railing about Islamophobia and the dangers of Islamophobia and how terrible it is that we discriminate against this peaceful religion. This is a peaceful religion, is Islam, according to Beto O'Rourke. Now, if that's not bad enough, I mean, that in and of itself should make this the most obviously important race of the election for us, because you have the one true defender of Israel, Ted Cruz, an evangelical Christian who really believes that God commands every Jew and every Gentile to back Israel and to support the Jewish people in the Holy Land. You've got Ted Cruz, the one true conservative, the one true defender of Israel, versus the most vicious, evil, left-wing enemy of Israel, a Bernie Sanders socialist enemy of Israel. And Bernie Sanders also wants to see Israel destroyed. Remember, Karl Marx wrote the book World Without Jews. Karl Marx wrote a Hitlerian book about how the world would be better off if the Jews disappeared. And this is, and Arthur Koestler wrote The 13th Tribe, all these self-hating Jews have always wanted the Jewish people to be destroyed. They hate their background. They hate their own people. And many Jews don't understand. There are millions of Jews who are filled with self-hatred and loathing and are the worst anti-Semites. They run the news media. They're the ones in Hollywood. They're the Jewish billionaires. George Soros and all the other Jewish billionaires. Tom Steyer. Mike Bloomberg. They're ashamed to be Jewish. They're intermarried, assimilated. They hate their religion. They hate their heritage. They hate their people. I'm a human being. I'm not a Jew. I'm a human being. That is what they want to prove to the world. And they want to create a situation where they won't have to say they're a Jew anymore because the Jewish people won't exist. That's what they would like. And Beto O'Rourke is their favorite candidate this year. They love him. And they hate Ted Cruz. Now, this is what Beto O'Rourke stands for, just to show you how extreme he is. First of all, he is with the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democrat Party. He's a socialist like Bernie Sanders. And here's some of the positions he's taken in the campaign. He favors abolishing the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency of the U.S. government, ICE. It's called ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. What does ICE do? ICE is the group that that prevents illegal aliens from coming into the United States and enforces our borders and enforces U.S. law. Beto O'Rourke and Bernie Sanders and these other vile left-wing socialist monsters, they want to eliminate all border controls. They want completely open borders. Beto O'Rourke thinks that ICE is the very existence of ICE is racist. He thinks standing at the border and saying you can't all come flooding in at once is racist. He thinks we have an obligation to immediately grant amnesty to all illegal aliens that march into the country and to have no border controls. And again, he wants to eliminate, he wants to abolish ICE, the agency that guards the border. He doesn't want to have border control. He doesn't want to have anybody to guard against a complete invasion of the United States by hordes of people from the third world. Do you know what would happen if ICE were abolished and you had nobody at the border? And according to Beto O'Rourke, it's racist to have a group, to have an agency of the government that monitors illegals coming into the country and that tries to guard the border. He says that's racist. Do you know what would happen if we didn't have anything at the border, if there's nothing at the border? Do you have any idea what would happen? Hundreds of millions of people from the third world would flood this country within 2 or 3 years. This country within 2 or 3 years would be finished, finished. Hundreds of millions would march into the country. And Beto O'Rourke would be thrilled, and so would all the other. And Bernie Sanders, they would be thrilled. Because then the vast majority of people in the country are from third world countries. And then the socialists, the socialist third world people, they rule forever. Everybody in the United States would vote the way Washington, D.C., and the way the Bronx, and the way Chicago vote. There'd never be any hope for anything decent in the United States again. This is the dream of the left. This is what the left has been pushing for. So they say they want to abolish ICE. He says the border wall idea that Ted Cruz came up with is racist. Now remember, Trump was against the border wall. Remember Trump? We showed you how Trump was in favor of amnesty and was against the border wall and supported the Gang of Eight amnesty bill. When Ted Cruz led the opposition to the Gang of Eight amnesty bill, Ted Cruz ran. He started his career running for office in 2012 for the Senate, running on the issue of a border wall, that we need a border wall. Beto O'Rourke says a border wall is racist. Borders are racist. The whole thing is racist. It's all racist. You have controls on the border, and you're controlling whether people can come into your country. Everybody should be welcome to come to the United States whenever they want with no controls. Well, this is racist. And again, total amnesty for all illegals. 30 million illegals in the country, total amnesty overnight. He would make them citizens overnight. Then you have forever only the most extreme leftists controlling all branches of the government if that happens. Because then they become the clear, overwhelming majority. If you legalize 30 million new voters for the left, that's it. That's it. You saw the results of the last election. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote already by 3 million votes. Imagine another 30 million on top of that. That's it. It's over. It's over. Even the Electoral College couldn't save Donald Trump if that happened. And of course, Beto O'Rourke supports sanctuary cities. He believes that cities have the right to refuse to tell ICE, to refuse to tell the federal government, when you have illegal aliens who are arrested for murder and rape and violent crimes in this country, as has happened in many places. You have sanctuary cities like New York, okay? By the way, Rudy Giuliani made New York a sanctuary city. Rudy Giuliani also was an open borders guy. He made New York a sanctuary city. He refused to hand over any information about illegal aliens that are arrested to the federal government. And New York City is a sanctuary city since the days of Giuliani, and of course Mike Bloomberg of course continued it, and Bill de Blasio and all the other mayors that Trump has a good relationship with, they continued the sanctuary cities policy. San Francisco of course is a notorious sanctuary city, and you have many others. Beto O'Rourke wants to make the whole country a sanctuary country. He's not satisfied with sanctuary city. He wants to make the whole United States a sanctuary country. And of course, we have his famous statement with the Beto O'Rourke when he was asked about the NFL protests where people disrespect the national anthem and the flag. Now, you know, the most basic thing, if you're left, right, Democrat, Republican, at least you live in the United States. You know, these black athletes for the NFL, they're making millions of dollars. They don't deserve it. They're not talented people. They don't deserve to make the money they make. What do? They catch a ball and run with a ball and make millions of dollars. Where else could they do this? In what other country could they achieve this type of success? And the ingratitude of these people, they disrespect the American flag and they disrespect the national anthem. And Beto O'Rourke, he thinks it's wonderful. He said it's the most American thing you can do to show this disrespect for the flag. Here's what Ted Cruz exposed him saying in a TV commercial from the Ted Cruz campaign. Watch this.
I'm Ted Cruz, and I approve this message.
Does Beto O'Rourke think refusing to stand for the national anthem is disrespectful?
No, I don't think it's disrespectful. And I can think of nothing more American than to peacefully stand up or take a knee.
Texan Tim Lee stepped on a landmine in Vietnam.
I gave two legs to this country. I'm not able to stand, but I sure expect you to stand for me when that national anthem is being played.
In November, where will you stand?
There's nothing more American than refusing to stand for the national anthem and disrespecting the flag of the United States. There's nothing more American than that. So this is the socialist Bernie Sanders, far-left Democrat traitor Beto O'Rourke running against Ted Cruz, and why it's so important that we support Ted Cruz against Beto O'Rourke. Beto O'Rourke is a socialist. He's a Bernie Sanders supporter. He's an anti-Semite. He disrespects the American flag and the national anthem. He wants completely open borders. He wants to destroy Israel. He wants a nuclear Iran. Everything about this guy is a nightmare. A nightmare. And I don't care what your party is or what your ideology is, you can't possibly want this type of scum to be sitting in the United States Senate. And the media, right away, they're idolizing him. Oh, he's Kennedy-esque, and he's so good-looking, this, and he's so good. The media always defines what is good-looking. Remember Barack Hussein Obama, they said he was very good-looking. They said, oh, he's very good-looking, he's so attractive and handsome, Barack Hussein Obama. Please. They said Bill Clinton, that W.C. Fields lookalike, that he was so attractive. You remember they made him into someone who was supposed to be so attractive. This is what the media does. This is the media's little game. And so they're saying he's Kennedy-esque, and he's going to be like another Kennedy, and he's, you know, and they're building him up already, not only for the Senate, they're building him up to become president. The media is building him, is building up this vicious, evil, dangerous, Jew-hating extremist. They're building him up. So let's hope Ted Cruz stops him in the Senate race. And if Ted Cruz is reelected, at least Beto O'Rourke won't be in the Senate from Texas. He probably will run for office again, but at least that will stop him temporarily in the race for the Senate. Very important that we support Ted Cruz for the U.S. Senate, that we support the reelection of Ted Cruz. And let's understand something. Beto O'Rourke is the new face of the Democrat Party, an anti-Semitic, left-wing, socialist, anti-Israel party. That's the new face of the Democrat Party. And so Jews had better understand you are in a lot of danger in this country, and you are in a lot of trouble, and Israel is in danger, and Israel's in trouble. And if you don't care about that, then God's not going to care about you on the Day of Judgment. We're coming up to Yom Kippur. If you don't care about Israel, God's not going to care about you, and you don't deserve to have anybody care about you if you don't care about Israel. If you're a Jew and you don't care about Israel, you don't deserve to have anybody care about you. That's the Senate race in Texas. Now, on Yom Kippur in 1973, it was October 6, 1973. It was not only Yom Kippur, it was also Shabbat. It was also the Jewish Sabbath, because Yom Kippur fell on the Sabbath that year. All of a sudden, the armies of Egypt and Syria attacked Israel. Egypt from the south and Syria from the north. And the Israeli government pretended that they were shocked. They knew about it in advance. There is now indisputable evidence that they knew the attack was coming, that they met with Henry Kissinger and discussed it with him, that they met with other leaders and discussed it with them. And they decided, Golda Meir, Moshe Dayan, and that evil government of Israel, the government that American Jews worshipped, they worshipped Golda Meir, they worshipped Moshe Dayan. They decided to let Israel take this blow, which they knew would lead to the murder of huge numbers of Israeli soldiers. In the end, almost 3,000 Israeli soldiers were murdered in this war because of Golda Meir and Moshe Dayan and the Israeli leaders. And they knew that was going to happen. But they were so anxious to prove to the world that Israel didn't attack first. That Israel, they wanted the Arabs to attack to show, you see, the Arabs are the ones attacking us. The Arabs are the bad guys. We're the good guys. We were attacked. Look, we're the victims. As if that impressed the world. The world was completely unimpressed because they recognize the existence of a Palestinian people and they recognize Arab legitimacy to the claims of the land of Israel. And the minute you recognize that, you lose the argument. Then the world says, well, the Arabs have a right to attack. They're trying to liberate their land. This is Arab land. This is Muslim land. This isn't Jewish land. And Israel has no right to exist. This is all Muslim land. That's the way the world thinks and thought. Because the Jews themselves, the Jewish leaders themselves have said that. The Jewish leaders themselves have said that they want to create a so-called Palestinian state and that there's a Palestinian people. If that's true, then what is Israel doing in Judea and Samaria? Israel has no right to be there. This is why we support Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party, because he's the one Jewish leader who says there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. Of course, our great leader, Moreinu v'Rabbeinu Harav Meir David Kahana Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha Hashem Yikom Damo, our great beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana, he always said there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. But the first leader since Rabbi Kahana to say that again is Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party. And so we're supporting him, and we hope, God willing, Bezrat Hashem, we hope we can get him into the Knesset in the next election. I don't know. We're trying. Our advertising campaign with our videos, our paid advertising campaign, is paying off. I mean, let me put it to you this way. We have over 50,000 views so far on our new advertising campaign. Over 50,000 Israeli Jews have seen our videos, which tell Jews in Israel the truth about Netanyahu and his government and which promote Moshe Feiglin. So let's hope it works. But in the Yom Kippur War, the government knew in advance that Egypt and Syria were going to attack. They knew that Israel was going to get this tremendous blow, and they knowingly set the Jewish soldiers up to be slaughtered. You had like a few hundred Jewish soldiers, just 200 or 300 or 400 Jewish soldiers, who faced off against 80,000 Egyptian soldiers on the Suez Canal. 80,000 Egyptian soldiers marched in against a few hundred Jewish soldiers who were completely unprepared, no hint was given to them of what was coming. And the government knowingly did this. They didn't even give them enough ammunition to fight back. They gave them no backup. They didn't call up the reserves. They didn't prepare for anything. They left the country completely unprepared to show, you see, they attacked us. We didn't attack them. They wanted Israel to be the victim and play the victim, and they were willing to sacrifice the lives of Israeli soldiers for this. As if this impressed the world. The world was not impressed by this. The world is impressed when Israel wins big victories like the 1967 Six Day War. Then the world was impressed. The world was stunned and the world was impressed by that. When Israel wins big victories and when Israel wins miraculous victories, that's the only time that anyone in the world will be impressed. Even our enemies have to respect us when we win gigantic victories like that, which Israel is very capable of doing. But when Israel plays the victim and acts like the pathetic ghetto Jew waiting to be slaughtered, nobody respects that. Nobody is going to respect a wimp. Nobody is going to respect cowardice. Nobody is going to respect a worm. And that is what the leaders of Israel have made the Jewish people look like. Worms, cowards, wimps. We have the ability to win wars in 6 days, 4 days. We have the ability to win miraculous, breathtaking victories, which we were winning. At one point, we were winning that. And then the decision was made, well, we can't do that anymore. They didn't feel comfortable being winners. They wanted to make the Jews losers again so that people would feel sorry for the Jews. We don't want people to feel sorry for us, okay? As our great leader, Rabbi Kahana, always said, better an Israel that the whole world hates a victorious Israel that the whole world hates than an Auschwitz that the whole world loves. We don't want your Holocaust museums and your moments of silence to do the memory of the millions who were murdered in the Holocaust. We're not interested in that. We're interested in winning. And if you don't like us, that's fine. We don't have to like us, but we want to win and we want to survive. We're not in this world to please Jew haters and to please evil people. We're in this world to survive and to bring redemption to the world. And the Yom Kippur War was this terrible tragedy because the soldiers were just slaughtered. And it was a miracle. It was a miracle that Israel was not destroyed in that war, because the Egyptians and Syrians, they could have kept going, their armies. There was nothing to stop them. There was nothing to stop them from going straight to Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and just slaughtering all the Jews. There was nothing to stop them. Israeli army wasn't called up. There was nothing that could have saved the Jews. Israel could have been destroyed in the war. Miraculously, Hashem, God, intervened. And he put in the heads of the Egyptian and Syrian leaders, wait a minute, this is a Jewish trap. The Jews want us to send our armies completely in, and then they're going to surround us and they're going to slaughter our armies. This is just a Jewish trick. This is just a Jewish trap. So they stopped. They made some inroads. They made some quick inroads in Sinai and in the Golan Heights, Sinai in the south and the Golan Heights in the north. They made some inroads, and then they stopped. If they had kept going with thousands of tanks and all of their planes and all of their missiles and all the other stuff and their massive armies, if they had decided to go in, we could have had a Holocaust, God forbid. This could have been the end of Israel. It was a miracle that Hashem saved us from our own evil leaders. But look what could have happened. Look at the danger that our leaders put us in. The same leaders that are putting us in this danger now with a nuclear Iran and with Arab countries now wanting to build nuclear bombs as well in response to a nuclear Iran. Netanyahu is putting the Jews in danger of a Holocaust every single day. Our Jewish leaders are scum. Scum! That's why there was a Holocaust. That's why 6 million Jews were murdered to begin with, because of our Jewish leaders. They are scum, and they've got to go. The leaders in Israel have got to go, and the American Jewish self-hating leaders all have got to go, and the American Jewish politicians and all the others, they got to go. They're scum. You know who should be leading the Jewish people? JTF should be leading the Jewish people, together with Moshe Feiglin and together with the Zehut Party and together with good Jews, Kahanish Jews. They should be leading the Jewish people. Then we would have, then the world would be like, wow, what a different world this would be. What a beautiful world this would be. That day will come. We are promised. Hashem promises us. In fact, in the Parashiyot, in the parts of the Torah that we're reading now, Hashem promises us, the prophets promise us, and Moshe Rabbeinu promises us through his prophecy, that the day will come when the Jews will return, and the prophets promise us that the Jews will wake up, and the Jews will eventually come back to Hashem. That day will come. But for that to happen, we must get rid of these evil traitor leaders, and we must get all the traitors out of the media, Jewish leadership, the Jewish organizations, the establishment organizations, the media, gotta get rid of them. And we got to put good Jews in. And that's what we're trying to do. That's what we're working to do. Over 50,000 views this month. Actually, it's not really a month. It's really more like 5 or 6 weeks. We've gotten over 50,000 views so far on our advertising campaign in a country the size of Israel. We're trying. We're trying our best. And by the way, how it works, these are videos that people are seeing where we're making our case. Let's hope and pray that that works. Please pray for our success. Pray for the success of our campaign and support us financially and support us in every other way. And let's publicize JTF, because this is the truth. This is the truth that must be told, so that we won't have a war like the Yom Kippur War. We need to have leaders in Israel who will understand that the life of one Jewish soldier, the life of one Jew, the life of one innocent Jew, is more precious than all the so-called world opinion, Jew-hating world opinion, and what this one says, and that one, and this diplomat, and that diplomat. The life of one Jew is worth more than all of that. And the fact that these scum leaders have been willing to sacrifice and murder tens of thousands of Jews have been murdered unnecessarily since the creation of Israel in 1948. And over 6 million Jews were murdered unnecessarily in the Holocaust. This didn't have to happen. And it won't happen if we have the right leaders. Help us, and God willing, eventually we will work toward the day when We will have new leadership in Israel. That's not going to happen overnight, unfortunately. But we'll work for the day when we do have new leadership in Israel, so that when we approach Yom Kippur and when we approach the high holidays, we can do so knowing that we are bringing redemption for the Jewish people and for the world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.